T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The great guests continue here on The Score. I'm excited because my friend Kelly Kroll from NBC Sports Chicago is in the building now. And she, you know, look, Kelly walks into the room. She's got the great personality, the big smile. And she's like, hold on, I brought treats. And then like threw a bag of gummy worms at me as she sits here with her Diet Dew.
Oh, the dinner of champions right here, I'm telling you.
This is what it's all about in the broadcasting business. You got to get in where you fit in.
That's
sometimes.
Right, you snack however you can. And yeah, I rarely go anywhere without a pack of gummy worms.
Really?
Yes, that's my go-to. In case anyone wants to know, you don't have to buy me a special like $5 Starbucks drink. I mean, I'm easy to please here. All I need is the 99-cent bag from CVS of gummy worms.
For reals? Who knew that gummy worms was the thing with you?
That's it. That's what's been getting me by. That's the key right there. The key to getting through this grind of a baseball season.
It is. And look, I do want to talk Cubs with you, okay? I promise that I want to talk Cubs with you, but there's so much other stuff that I want to talk to you about. For example, when you pulled the Diet Dew out of your bag... I started thinking, well, wait, you were just hanging out with Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah.
So what was that like? You were able to, were you on the broadcast with him, or was it just like you were doing a feature on Dale? What, break it down for me.
A little bit of everything. Yeah, that's why I have the Diet Dew. I was sent home with a whole pack of them, as
yes!
well as the Monster Drinks. So that's how those guys, you know, keep going. But no, the deal is, so Dale Jr., entered the booth. So when NBC takes over for the rest of the season for NASCAR, this was going to be Dale Jr.'s first broadcast. And so we kind of went down to Joliet, where Chicagoland was having the latest race, and he was getting ready to get into the booth and just wanted to talk about what it was like with him to go from driver to broadcaster. And I'll tell you what, I left that interaction conversation with Dale Jr. just mesmerized at the depth that comes with Dale Jr. I mean, there is so much more than this country twang talking driver that I think so many people who don't know NASCAR kind of, that's his shtick, right? That's what he's known for. And Dale was tremendous. He could not have been more transparent, more genuine. And for any athlete, I think, to come to you and tell you, they know they're going to make some mistakes, but they are excited about this next challenge. They can't wait. They've called friends of theirs. Jeff Gordon is a guy who's also made that transition, and he told me, yeah, I called Jeff, and you know, here's what he said. And to me, the most interesting part is, you know, how are you going to, because you will have to, criticize or get after these drivers that just a year ago you were on the same track with? They're your buddies still, and you know they're going to get after you if you say something. And he was so great about it. He's like, that's what, I know I'm going to get some phone calls. I know I'm going to get some texts, but I owe it to the viewers at home, you know, to let them know what these guys are thinking, because I was there. And I thought Dale did an awesome job this weekend in the booth. I thought he was just great. And he brings a special, I mean, beyond just the credentials and all that he can add from the understanding of what drivers are going through in each minute of a race, he also adds this energy and enthusiasm that the Earnhardts are known for. And that's what I think was really cool. And so, yeah, I just went down there and hung out with Dale Jr. for a while and took in, I've got a little bit of a, you know, racing bone in me and some country music in me. And I love that setting. I really do. There's the strategy behind NASCAR races. That's what everyone talks about when you say baseball. Oh, now that I know the game within the game, or, you know, what they're thinking beyond just what we're seeing, it makes it that much more fun. And that's how I feel about racing.
Okay. So I didn't, I figure there is a little bit of country girl in you.
Oh, a lot of.
Because I know that you love Lake Shake, and we talked about that the last time that you were on.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that it translated to racing, too. So how did the racing thing start with you?
To be honest, well, growing up north of Indianapolis, my first internship ever, I'm, a sophomore in college, and I go home, and it's with the NBC affiliate in Indianapolis. And the big things in the summer for Indianapolis when it comes to sports, aside from Colts training camp, is the Indy 500 in May, and then it was the Brickyard 400 in June. So I was thrown into a lot of racing. And I'd always followed the Indy 500 naturally growing up there, but it wasn't until I went down there and started talking to the drivers and their crew and all this stuff one of the things learned about that sport in particular that I think is so great is they are so open and excited to have you there to cover them. They get it. They know where they are on the totem pole of all these sports that are out there and their coverage. They love having you there and they're throwing you into anything. And hey, come in and see, here's the trailer. Here's what we do with the radios and the this and the that and the this. And hey, you want to change a tire? Jump on in there. I had one of the guys this weekend let me change a tire. And let me just say, it's a good thing AAA exists because I am never, ever going to be able to do that. Tires are really heavy, especially their tires. I had no idea. And those guys get paid a lot of money to be able to do in 14 seconds a tire on the backside and a tire on the front side, and let's get it in and out. Let's get the fuel. Let's keep this thing moving. It's just fun. It's fascinating. And they are tremendous athletes with a great, great group of guys around them that are really just fun to be around.
My wife last year, we're at an auction. And there was a Mario Andretti Racing School that was available. Uh-huh. I know we're talking IndyCar versus NASCAR.
No, I got you.
But,
I'm following.
But, she's got a little bit of that in her, too. She grew up in Central Illinois. She can drive. Drive.
So nice.
We put her in the car, and she got the car. It was, you get 5 minutes. She got in the car, and she got the car up to, I think, 158.
Wow.
Driving around the track.
Good for her, yeah.
And she, won her day. Of all the drivers that were there that day, she was the fastest one there. So she had to, put on the fire suit and the helmet and, the whole 9 yards. And she said it was weird because you don't realize how much the pit crew is talking.
Oh, nonstop.
And nonstop. I'm like, I didn't even think about that being something that would the driver would be going through while they're trying to navigate the other drivers in the course.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually fascinating. So this weekend, after talking to Dale Jr. on Friday, when I went back on Sunday to actually see the race, I was hanging out with Kurt Busch and his crew. And that's Stuart Haas Racing, Tony's, racing and everything. And I got connected with them through NBC. And I was fortunate enough to be able to put on the headsets. And it was hysterical because, this is where I get to hear exactly what you're talking about. What the engineers behind all of it who are watching, whether it's the fuel, whether it's the... they're taking everything into account. The temperatures this weekend and what that does to a track, what it does to tires then on the track. All this stuff is calculated to a very high level. And most of these engineers, mechanical engineers, have gone through some of the best schools in the nation. A lot of them come out of Purdue University, which is, just down the road from here in a way. And I got to wear the headset until... anyone who was watching the race saw where Kurt kind of started to fall behind a bit. And that's when they took the headset off of me because there was F-bomb after F-bomb being dropped every few minutes. And they were like, Kelly, we're going to go ahead and take that back. But for anybody who doesn't know, Kurt Busch is also a huge Cubs fan. So he was all on board having me out there, and he thought I'd bring him good luck. And clearly it worked a little bit for the Thunder and a little bit for the Cubs. But I guess it did not rub off on Kurt Busch this weekend. Anyway, it was a blast. I had a blast out there. They were great. So, high fives to all those guys with Stuart Haas Racing. They were awesome.
Kelly Kroll of NBC Sports Chicago is here in studio with me hanging out. The more I get to know you...
There's a lot of layers,
It is.
You got to keep pulling them back, Lawrence.
It's great. It's great. And what I love is your tentacles as a reporter go in a lot of different directions from, working and covering the Padres, working in Oklahoma City, covering the Thunder. I got to know, you watch NBA free agency play out last weekend.
Yeah.
Paul George is staying in OKC, but LeBron is going to Los Angeles. What do you think?
I mean, how about that? Fireworks right out of the gate, right? I think what shocked me the most is, hey, we're all waiting to hear where LeBron is going and the King, where is he headed? And he's taking his talents to Hollywood. And then all of a sudden, what is to this day, it still makes me laugh, is that he has to share the headlines. The guy, the main man that everyone was concerned about, we now know where he's headed, and yet we're finding out that DeMarcus Cousins is headed to the Golden State Warriors, and all of a sudden Boogie is taking those headlines away from the King. And I was like, hold on, what is going on? And then as I started to read, I thought to myself, so DeMarcus Cousins, when I was in Oklahoma City, he was in Memphis, right?
Sacramento?
No, all I know is he was in the West. And I maybe, okay, sorry for all you listening. That was 7 years ago now. Wherever he was, and he's been on so many teams.
He was having a lot of beef with Kevin Durant back in the day.
Exactly. And so I was following him a lot, and I just was kind of interested. And the perception he had at the time was, you know, of course, difficult to work with. And there's this perception that he's not really all that intelligent sometimes with the way he conducts himself, okay? And that's why when I heard that he got in touch with his agent, he basically was the one to say, call up Golden State and see if they're interested in this. I thought, that has to be the smartest thing this guy has done in his career. To this date, he is going to go out there for a year. He's going to get paid plenty of money in terms of what we all make. He's getting paid just plenty of money.
To rehab.
Get himself some hardware, and then show everybody what he's still made of. And if he does, he'll sign himself to a nice long deal with a lot of money coming his way. So I thought, what a partnership, and the super team just got more super. So there's that, right? I mean, as we watched what walked away from that team and JaVale McGee, you know, you kind of thought, okay, maybe that's the one area, and then here they have Boogie Cousins coming in.
What fascinates me is, I've been saying this for the last few days, and Kelly Krull of NBC Sports Chicago is hanging out here with us. The LeBron thing, it's like if I were a producer of a reality show and they were like, hey, this year you're going to do a reality show about a professional basketball team. Oh, okay. Well, what do I need? Well, you need the best player in the game. Okay, got it. Now, can you surround him with some colorful characters?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, great. I'm going to sign the guy that used to blow in his ear on the team. I'm going to do that.
Man, Lance Stevenson. You're right. That actually, right after that happening, you're right. That was tremendous.
I'm going to sign Rajon Rondo.
Mm-hmm, yep.
I'm going to sign JaVale McGee. Oh, and for poops and giggles, he's going to be on the team with Lonzo Ball and his dad.
It's
a reality show.
It is a circus. A total circus. You're right. Would generate so much money. And they will.
Yes.
They will. And it is going to be entertaining to watch that all come together. Now, I was curious because there's that report out, or there are reports out that the Lakers passed on Cousins. Excuse me. And if that's the case, do you take that as an indication that they are not looking to win next year with LeBron?
I feel like it's a punt year for LeBron.
I mean, how do you do that with a guy that's 35?
These are the questions that I think not enough people are asking, Kelly. And look, he is superhuman, and he keeps showing us that he's superhuman.
That's right. He hasn't showed us that anything is slowing down. So.
But at some point, it is going to happen, and he's not going to be able to drag a bag of bums to the NBA championship. And will he have enough help to get there? I don't know. I just know that circus is a great word. Word for it. We need to take a break.
You've got your trapeze walker. You've got the Lion King guy that stands up on them, walks around.
You got a clown. You got them all. Kelly, we haven't even talked about the Cubs yet.
Can you
stick around for one more segment?
I can totally do that.
More with Kelly Krull of NBC Sports Chicago. She's great. We love when she comes to visit. She brings treats. And she also brings a lot of knowledge. We'll talk more with her about the Cubs and their 6-game win streak next here on The Score. More with Kelly Krull right now. I'm so happy that I get the chance to talk with Kelly Kroll for a few more minutes. We have scratched the surface. I got to figure out, here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I got to figure out.
Lay it on me. Let's see. What we got?
A day off for you and you come in here and like do a couple hours. Like come hang out with me. Like we do the show. Like we change the name of the show to like Lawrence and Kelly or Kelly and Lawrence. And we just.
Ooh, see, yeah, you throw my name in. That's a lot there. The only thing I think I might ask my agent to ask for would be like a bag of gummy worms every time I come.
Dude.
Okay.
That's done.
It can be done? Done.
I get you a
Days
big
off,
old.
I'm in here.
I get you gummy worms, get you a big old bag of gummy bears. We get.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think at Costco they have like the 5-pound bag. That's my next move, Lawrence.
I feel like during the. Football season, maybe Alex or Lance brought in like a giant bag of gummy bears, and I was like, this is a big...
It's a legit 5-pound. I think it weighs 5 pounds. That's the point of it. 5-pound bag.
I think that we can make that happen.
Okay.
I think that is easily done.
I am in.
Good. So we talked NBA. We talked NASCAR.
We did.
We talked IndyCar.
I never thought I'd get to do some of that.
Which is great. We were able to do that. Let's talk about the Cubs. This is the team that you follow every day.
Let's do it.
You're there on the sidelines reporting on this team. What's been the biggest change in them in the last week and a half?
Oh, you mean them hitting finally?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's too simple. Some things have just started to click finally with this offense that we knew was as dangerous as they are. The guys that are supposed to hit are now hitting. The thing I found, I think, rather intriguing, though, in this last 6-game win streak is they've done all this without Chris Bryant in the lineup. And it's been really great to see guys like David Bodie come up. I mean, what a tremendous story. And just one of those guys you want to root for because he's just a really good kid and has his first major league home run the other day. And then you've got whether it's Javi Baez filling in at, you know, short, second, I mean, heck, they could send him probably out to the outfield. Yeah, he's over at third making plays look way too easy. And, the only thing I think from a Cubs fan's perspective that you're probably wondering about right now is you see this offense start to gel and come together and look like what you're used to seeing it look like when they're on a roll is you're just wondering when that rotation's going to also click into place because it was Kyle Hendricks who said it. I'm going to use his words because that way I don't get in trouble. But there's one guy that's doing the work right now, carrying the load, and that's John Lester. And Kyle Hendricks knows he has to be better. He said it. I know Tyler Chatwood knows he has to go deeper into ball games. And that's not to say that Mike Montgomery hasn't been tremendous out of the bullpen. That's not what Kyle was alluding to because he has. But that wasn't the guy that was being asked to do it at the beginning of the year. So you got to get Yu Darvish healthy. I don't like what I heard on your airwaves earlier today. I don't like hearing what Jim Hickey had to say about basically this rehab process starting over now that he's had the cortisone shot. We're 6 days into it. He's going to have to go back and at some point throw a couple more bullpen sessions, get out and do a simulated game, get out and do a rehab start. I mean, we're looking at late July as an optimistic return for Yu Darvish. And that's tough. I think the biggest part of that, I'm taking this in all kinds of different directions, sorry, but that it just keeps leading me from one thing to the next. And there are so many positives. Don't get me wrong. It's hard to nitpick at a team that's winning 6 in a row. They're 14 games over 500. That's the first time this season, a season high for them. They're in a great spot. They're in a great spot, and yet they're still a game behind the Brewers, right? So they got to keep up this pace because I think Milwaukee's here to stay. But the thing about I was going somewhere with Yu Darvish, and that puts Jed and Theo right now in a really difficult position
mm-hmm.
because we're going into the trade deadline with them not knowing what they have in Yu Darvish. They knew they were going to need to go out, as any team does that wants to compete in October. They knew they were going to have to beef up the bullpen, especially after it's been taxed the way it has this season now with some of the starters not going as deep into ball games. And I mean, how about that AAA bullpen they had, though, bringing up every guy has been such a stud coming up and getting the work done that they've done. I've been really impressed with everything that those guys have done. But yeah, I think that puts Theo in a tough spot here in the next week or so, figuring out, do you really want to give up? Because guys, it's not, all of you Cubs fans listening, it's not coming without one of your favorites heading out of town, okay? It just will not happen. They can't land a starter or a guy that's going to be one of your 1-2-3s in October without giving up a Javi Baez, an Addison Russell. It's not, no offense to Ian Happ, but he's not going to be enough for a package. It's going to take more than that, and you're going to see someone leave that you don't want to leave. That's how this works now. People who have good arms out there are going, I mean, this is highway robbery is what they're going to get, because they've shown every postseason for the last 5 years how important your bullpen is.
It really does, it's important. And the Lester, and you brought up what was said about him by Kyle Hendricks. I'm kind of amazed by what we're seeing from Lester. It's one thing to be a guy that goes out there and just pitches well. It's another thing to have arguably one of your best seasons ever at this point in your career with all the innings that he's thrown, all the postseason innings that he's thrown. He's not a guy that likes to talk a ton about himself.
Not at all.
But what is he saying about why he's having success this year?
He really hasn't. He hasn't put a finger on it other than he feels good. And that's always kind of the key for these guys when they feel healthy and they feel rejuvenated. I think we all know when he first came over to the Cubs and he started a little behind the eight ball there, with the dead arm. And then the next season, you know, they have that 2016 run and he's coming back in 2017. I think last year all the guys felt fatigue. I mean, they weren't going to tell you that, but they did, every single one of them. And so now this year he got to go in and have a legit offseason, get back on his routine and his training. And this is a guy who knows himself so well that I think you are seeing him. And this is, he will probably want to pull me aside and have a strong conversation with me after he hears me say this. But I think part of his success actually has to do with there being no John Lackey and David Ross around. And I think John Lester has found this new level of concentration and focus. I really do, because it's all about him. Now, there are no buddies on the side that he still has good conversations and he laughs it up with guys and stuff. But I think there is this thought of, I'm the leader. I'm it. I'm the guy. And from a vocal standpoint, that's always going to kind of be a challenge for him, because he's not really the guy that's going to lead these speeches like Jason Hayward. That's not really part of his nature.
He strikes me as the guy that doesn't say a lot, but when he does, it has a lot of value.
A lot of value.
And he strikes me as the type of guy that if a younger player has questions,
no doubt,
they can go to him and talk to him about stuff.
You betcha. But it has always been part of his way to lead by example, right? And what he is doing right now in his side sessions and the way he is going about his work, I think that is a direct translation to what we are seeing on the field and on the mound. I mean, from John Lester. I think he's just at the... It's crazy to say at the peak of his career. Now, I'm still curious to see how the second half goes, but there's... Like you just said the other day with LeBron earlier, like there's no indication that he's slowing down. I mean, this guy is pitching at the best level that he has pitched at. So, and he is. He's a great teammate. It's fun to watch him in there with the guys like even Kyle Hendricks in his ear, or you name it. He talks nonstop about Javi Baez being one of his favorite players to watch and play with, and maybe the most exciting. And he's talking about some great infielders that he's worked with. I mean, and he is putting Javi Baez at the top of his list of guys that have played behind him.
That was the next thing that I wanted to ask you about. You see it up close.
Yeah.
What's it like covering Javi Baez?
From the standpoint of watching someone do these things, it's mesmerizing. It is absolutely captivating, night in and night out. You never know what he's going to pull out of his hat as the magician. He really is that must-see player that you go to watch now. I don't care from a defensive standpoint or running the bases. I want to watch what he is going to do every single night. And it's true. I think they're becomes this appreciation of watching him do it and then watching someone else try to do it behind him. And that's when you realize just how hard what he did is and how easy he made it look. It just looks so fun and graceful. And yet then I mean, this is no offense to Addison Russell, but he'll tell you he tried the swim move and it did not work out well. Like, it just didn't. And I thought it was interesting the other night as many watched the game, that swim move that stole home. And, you know, he's first Cubs player to do this in 51 years, stealing home twice in the same season kind of thing. And I thought it was interesting in talking to Javi after the game that he said something about when he was younger, he oftentimes came up short when sliding into any base, he was saying. When he'd slide head first, he wouldn't quite get there. And he's kind of laughing at himself in that moment. And I thought to myself, I want to follow up on that, which I haven't, because of course that night was all about the slide that was so incredible. I'm curious to know, at what point then did he start changing something? What was it that he started to change? How did he get from the guy who in grade school didn't complete the slide to now the guy at 25 years old that is literally the epitome of the best slider in the game? Can I say that?
It's because he's got like two titles now. Like, he's got
best tagger
and best tagger, right? And now best slider.
He has signature moves in that too. That's how rare is it to talk about a guy who has made this move. This swim move has become his steal kind of move, and then the tag, the snag and tag, has become his signature thing there at second base. And it's, I just can't remember the last time we were talking about a baseball player who basically got to name his own move.
Right? The Javi. It's a big deal. Kelly Kroll here with me for a couple more minutes. You were talking about the Brewers. I want to talk about your experience at Miller Park. Mm-hmm. You went down the slide.
I did.
What was that like?
You know, you see where this is going, right? NASCAR, going down slides. I just like to have a good time when I'm when I'm either covering sports or watching sports. It just need, it's enjoyable. This isn't I am not a rocket scientist, and I am not doing surgeries every day. I am getting to talk about sports and slide down slides at Miller Park, which was really fun and a little scary.
I can imagine. I was so happy for you, and I've been trying to convince.
Because I came out on the other end, okay?
Well, yeah, you were fine. But I've been trying to convince our common friend Laura Britt, because Laura, like, mm-hmm. her big thing mm-hmm. is she wants to be in, like, the sausage race or, like, the president's race.
Okay.
And I really want that for
yes.
her. Like, she is adamant about it.
I feel like this is a goal that could be attained if she really put her mind to it, right?
I agree. And I said, you know, we know some people. We might be able.
We could possibly pull a few strings for her and make this happen.
Yes.
You know, I think that Luke Stuckmeyer did this.
Really?
Did you? Yes. I think you know what? I'm going to dig up some footage, because I'm pretty sure Luke Stuckmeyer did that sausage race in Miller Park not all that long ago. So I know that Laura could get herself in there, and she'd probably do one heck of a job. I could see her, you know, in the outfit, just pulling it off her. She's got these long, gorgeous, skinny legs. I'm sure that it would work out really well for her. That was not the angle I was going for. The slide was much more my pace. I'm not much of a sprinter.
So was it more or less scary than you expected it to be?
So it was higher than I expected. And I'm not one to be like afraid of heights, but I think anybody just in general who wants to not do something ridiculous, you get up to that height and you're looking down and you're like, wow, the field is way down there. I mean, they look like little ants, right? And so then I'm just like, okay, don't look down. Don't look down, Kelly. Just sit down and get this burlap sack under you and just get down the slide. We can do this, right? And of course, nowadays you have to like Instagram everything and do it live. So I'm trying to like hold my phone up and not fall or do anything crazy while I've got a photographer shooting me, and this is supposed to go on air, so I can't say anything bad or whatever. But I think that what surprised me is it moves a lot faster once you get in that sack and just flying down there. I pick up good speed, and then you shoot into this like padded wall. Good thing it's padded. Now I understand why it's padded at the bottom of it. But yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And the story to this that you will probably find entertaining is that, so clearly, to make this work on television, you need a shot from behind as I go down the slide, but then you also need the shot from down below, right? So you see me coming in and coming off the slide. And so I probably did this, Lawrence, in the end, maybe 4 or 5 times I went down the slide.
That's great.
I went down the slide 4 or 5 times, but to make it look real and authentic, I clearly had to scream over and over and over again, right? Like, each time I went down. And after the game, of all people, John Lester steps up to me and is like, so, you have fun going on the slide today? And I was like, did you get to see it? It was a good segment, right? Like, I was all proud of myself. I was like, pretty good, right? And he's like, no, I wasn't watching the broadcast. I was throwing a bullpen below you, and you screamed over and over and over again. And I thought, dude, this is a direct quote. When the hell is she going to be done with that? So Lester called me out for that segment. He didn't even see it, but he was, he was aware I was doing it because I kept screaming. He's like, you didn't think the first time was good enough? Like, you had to do it again? I said, hey, we had to get it right.
Had to get the shot right.
So there's my slide story from Miller Park.
That's a great slide story. Kelly, as always, I love it when you come visit the show.
It is such a pleasure. Thank you, as always, for having me. You guys are the best. Thank you, crew. All of you guys.
It's going to be – I can't wait to get you in here because we need to – you know what I really appreciate? The fact that you are – like when people think about what it is we do for a living, like you're actually living out some of that stuff. Like – being the pit crew, sliding down the slide. Like those are good things to go and explore. And I appreciate your explorer spirit doing some of this stuff. Watch Kelly on NBC Sports Chicago. You're doing Cubs pregame?
Yeah, Cubs pregame tomorrow afternoon before they take on the Reds on NBC Sports Chicago. And we will be out at Wrigley Field starting at 12:30 with the coverage.
That's where you can find Kelly. She's great people. And you should be following her on every platform that you can find. This hour of the show being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS, the number 4-KIDS. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Michael Beller of Sports Illustrated about your Chicago Cubs. You don't want to miss it. It's next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.